I appreciate Miss Carolyn playing for us and I didn't realize it till the other day, but y'all have been with us a couple of years now. Seems like it's not been that long, but it has been. Well, turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 11. And this is the part I was saying that I cut. So I added a little bit with the communion, but I did just take the first of three or four points and bringing that to you today. And I want you to see here what God is doing. In this book of Revelation, it is there's so much going on, and there's so much that sounds like chaos. And if you look at the world we're living in, we're still living in that kind of chaos and that kind of turmoil in this world around us. We talk about the things that have happened this week, the attack in New Orleans, the attack in Las Vegas, the different things that are going on around the world. But in this book of Revelation, it's amplified. And the church has been taken out of the world, remember, at this point. And God is still at work doing something here. So there in verse 1, it says, "Then I was given a measuring reed, like a rod, with these words, 'Go and measure the temple of God and the altar, and count those who worship there. But exclude the courtyard outside the temple. Don't measure it, because it is given to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. I will grant my two witnesses authority to prophesy for 1,260 days, dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that shall stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. They have authority to close up the sky so that it does not rain during the days of their prophecy. They also have power over the waters to turn them into blood, to strike the earth with every plague whenever they want.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we have in it this morning. I pray you teach it to us by your Spirit, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to remind you as we get into this of the timing of the book of Revelation. We believe the rapture will take place, then this 7 years of tribulation will take place that's described through most of this book. In this book, though, there are many things that are chronological. The things that we've looked at up to this point are, for the most part, very much chronological. They go in order. But in chapter 11, what we're doing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but what we're doing in chapter 11 is kind of going back and saying, in the meantime, while all these other things are going on, this is also going on. And you begin there at the beginning of that tribulation. And the thing that has always stood out to me for as a question in this is, you have these two witnesses that are, if anybody other than God Himself and Christ, these are the superheroes of this time of tribulation. Not Jesus, and not God, not to that level, but these are the two guys that we read about and we think, man, they were powerful. God did something, or is doing, going to do something great in them. But it begins dealing with them by John being told to go and measure the temple. Now, every time, I came to understand this really this week, I think, every time that the temple is measured in the Old Testament, that you're given the measurements or the dimensions of the temple, it is pointing to a renewal or a revival or a restoring of God's people to a relationship with Him. You have in Moses, when they left Egypt, they went to Mount Sinai, and God gave the dimensions of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, that would be pulled up and travel with them. Everything was portable. and it was easily set up, and so they would, they had the dimensions there. When you have Solomon building the temple, from my understanding, there was, God gave some dimensions, I believe, but it was also really a copy of the tabernacle itself. And then you go to Ezekiel, and you can write this verse down. I'll have it up there, or not verse, but a couple of verses. I'll have that up there in a few moments. But Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, just the last eight chapters, nine chapters, are about the dimensions of the temple. You come through this book, and it gets better and better as you go, and you build up to this battle of Gog and Magog, and then in chapters 38 and 39, then in chapter 40, you suddenly get the dimensions of the new temple. Well, at that time, the temple had been destroyed in Israel. And that was going back to, it is dealing with that second temple that would be rebuilt when they came back home. But it's also pointing to this third temple, because that battle of Gog and Magog, all those things haven't happened yet. This is about the renewing of God's people, restoring God's people back into that right relationship with Him. So the next slide there, you got measuring the temple, but also this third temple I want you to see. It will have been rebuilt by this time. There have been two temples in Israel. You had the tabernacle, then the temple of Solomon, and that was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then when they came out, Israel came back out of exile, they built the second temple. Herod added on to it and added more to that complex, but this was the second temple, and Rome destroyed it. For 2,000 years, there's been no temple in Israel. When John was writing this, there was no temple in Israel. But here, these guys are going to stand in the temple. Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk about that war of Gog and Magog, and that's something interesting to look at and talk about. But basically, what we believe is Russia will lead a coalition of nations that will come against Israel. Some will be out of Europe, and some mainly the countries that surround Israel, and then some in Africa. And they'll come against Israel all together, all at one time. And God is going to destroy those armies. And not only the armies, but the many of the capitals and the military bases in the lands these armies came from. They'll be destroyed. But at the end of that, there will be an earthquake that will, it says, the Bible says, destroy every building in Israel. And it'll be able to be rebuilt and renewed. Well, today, the thing that sits on the Temple Mount, there are two buildings there. They are Muslim holy sites, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and then the Dome of the Rock. And they are pretty much off limits to Jewish people. They can go to those, legally I think they can go on the Temple Mount, but they can't go in those buildings. And when they go to the Temple Mount, it causes a lot of trouble. Can you imagine these buildings being leveled in a great earthquake after God has saved the nation of Israel? And then Israel saying, okay, now's the time to rebuild the temple. And instead of putting these Muslim holy sites back, they rebuild the temple of God. Think of the turmoil that is there now. And imagine what that's going to be. Every protester in the world will be there. In the temple, in verse 2, John is told to measure the temple and the altar of God and count those who worship there. Those who say we shouldn't count attendance in church, there you go, right there. It's in the Bible. But count those who worship there, but exclude the courtyard outside the temple. Don't measure it, because it is given to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. 3.5 years. Can you imagine this? Everything in the temple was about the Jewish people and their relationship with God. But there's an outer court that's for the Gentiles. An outer court that anyone could come into. Gentiles couldn't go past that outer court, but they could come into that and worship God, participate in that worship of God. This outer court, it's saying, is going to be trampled. Again, just think, with Israel last year defending themselves from an attack by Hamas, I think it was the group in Gaza, the ones in Gaza there that attacked Israel. There were college protests across our nation, students that were tearing up colleges because this nation is defending itself. Imagine what will happen when they rebuild that temple. It's going to be chaotic there. It says the city will be trampled for 42 months, and those witnesses are going to be there. The last thing I want to show you is the Old Testament references that are here. There are two of them in this passage. I want to be very brief with this. But Ezekiel, as I said, Ezekiel 40 through 48 describes the... It gets very dry, becomes very dry reading for me because it is the description down to the detail, down to what is going to be carved on the pillars, how far the pillars are going to be apart, how wide the gates are going to be, the guard shacks, the guard quarters that will be beside those gates. Everything is laid out in detail over 9 chapters. And if you're an architect, you may, you know, that may really spark your imagination, and it does mine as far as I can follow it. But it's given in great detail. That's what's being referred back to when he's told to go and measure the temple. And then this, he talks there, let me go down to verse 4. These are the two witnesses. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Every Jewish person would understand this, that cares anything about the Old Testament and reads that. This is out of Zechariah chapter 4, the prophecy of the olive tree and the lampstands that would be there in the temple. Again, Zechariah was prophesying during the time of Ezra when they came back to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon, and they were to rebuild the temple. The Persian king had conquered Babylon and had told them, go back and basically here's a check to cover all the expenses. Go back and rebuild your temple. And as they did that, they got the foundation laid. They built the altar where they could sacrifice, then they laid the foundation, and they stopped. And so you had the prophet Haggai that came in and pretty much scolded the people and said, get up and get to work. And they got up and got to work for a little while, and they stopped again. And then Zechariah came in, and he began to preach to the people God's word, telling them the Messiah is going to stand in this temple. You must get the temple rebuilt. The olive trees and the lampstands are that verse out of Zechariah 4:6, where he tells the governor and the high priest, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's the way this work is going to be done. And what God is referring us back to here in Revelation is that this renewing of the people of Israel is going to be by the Spirit of God. Everything is pointing to Jesus and His second coming. Everything is pointing to what He is going to do and what He is doing during this time of revelation, of chaos, of turmoil and death and plague and all kinds of natural disasters taking place. God is at work drawing His people back to Him. So here's the message this morning. This same God is working now in the same way to restore His people, the church that is here today, into a right relationship with Him. He is working to call people who don't know Him into a right relationship with Him. In this time that we're reading about, the church will be taken out of the world. We will have been raptured. Then there's no church left. There'll be many that are saved after that. Many that sit in church pews on Sunday mornings, and as we talked about many that look at communion, look at the church attendance, look at the things that we do and say, that's enough. They're going to be left behind when Christ comes because they didn't ever know Him. And many of them, of course, will try to figure out what happened and they'll be saved. But God is at work drawing the people of Israel back to Him. This will be the first time since John the Baptist that prophets have come back into the nation of Israel. These two witnesses. Do you see the magnitude of God's work? God is at work today in you, in me, restoring us to Him. He's at work in us, using us to shine this light out into the community around us to help others come back to Him. God is at work always. We may face a very chaotic year with a new president coming in, with attempts to harm him, to harm others, to make things bad in this nation. We may face any number of things, but we have a God that's sitting on the throne, and we have a message to share that is so much greater than all that chaos. Let's remember to share that message and remember that God is, in the chaos in your life, God is grabbing you to say, listen to me, look to me, and you'll find Him when you do. I don't know how God may be dealing with you today through this, but I do want to offer an invitation that's just, it's open. If you don't know Christ as Savior, if you want to say, God, I know that my life has gone my own way, but I want to start today living my life with You, living my life for You and through You. Would You save me from my sin and give me that relationship with You? He will give it to you immediately. You can know Him today as Savior. If these things scare you to death, these things that are coming, you can find the peace of knowing Him and know that you're not going to have to worry about all these things because God is on His throne. You may be here today and you need to renew your walk with Christ. It's a great time. It's the beginning of the year. Don't make it a resolution. You'll be forgotten about it in 2 weeks. Along with losing 20 pounds and all the other things that go along with it. Just say, Lord, from this point forward, I want to go with You. Any decision you need to make today, whatever God has put on you, God often takes His finger and just taps one spot in your heart, and you know it. Whatever you need to do today to make that right with Him, do that today. I want to ask you to stand if we would. We'll have prayer, and Stephanie will lead us in a song as we always do. As we sing, if there's anything you need to settle with God, come forward today. Talk with me, come pray at the altar, whatever you need to do. But let's do that today. Father, thank You that You're still at work. You're always at work. There's never a time when You're not about the work of redeeming and renewing relationships with Your people and the people You've made, created. Father, we thank You for this blessing You give us today, that You're calling us to You. And Lord, just have Your way in this time. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.